We're looking at loyalty to our King. We've got a few scriptures to go to, but if you'd like to go to Psalm 3, just to start with, I just want to read this psalm, and then we're going to go and look at the reason why this psalm came about. But I want to read it because it's a beautiful psalm. And the title of the message is Loyalty to Our King. And we see in Psalm 3:1 there, it's a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all my enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. Here we have David's mindset, how he felt because of the betrayal of his son Absalom. That, you know, nothing hurts more than being betrayed. But it's even more hurtful when it's in the family. You know, family should be the unit that we can depend upon. You know, we praise God for our wives and husbands and children, and they should be our first priority after our relationship with God. Now, when we get our lives in order with God, we learn how to trust Him, and we learn, most importantly, how to be loyal to Him. You know, loyalty to our King should be our priority, because it's out of this relationship we can build on the closest and most human of all our relationships. And praise God for loyalty. Now, it's the act of faithfulness where we're careful to do our duty, where we honour the obligations that we have. We stick fast and we perform what we've got to do. And we see that especially in the marriage covenant as a good example of practicing loyalty. And God is loyal and God is faithful in the care of His children. And we can wholly trust Him to perform and carry out every promise He has given to us. He is a Father, a protector, a provider, and our Saviour. And we see in that psalm David's trust in God's faithfulness. Now, the events that resulted in David's cry to God and trust come from 2 Samuel, and the story covers from chapter 15 through to chapter 18, and we won't look at all the verses there, but we will go through a few of them. Now, what we do know, if you go to 2 Samuel 14:25, just to start with, so we can explain who Absalom is. And we read there, but in all Israel, there was none to be so much praised as Absalom for his beauty. From the sole of his foot, even to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him. And it even says in verse 26 there, when he polled his head, for it was at every year's end that he polled it, because the hair was heavy on him, therefore he polled it, and he weighed his hair of his head at 200 shekels after the king's weight. So here's a man, a very attractive man. The scripture says that he was a beautiful man, and what has happened is pride has entered into his heart. He rebelled against his father, and he led a whole army against him. And Absalom was determined to take over his father's throne. And if we go to chapter 15 and starting in verse 2 there, Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, "Of what city art thou?" And he said, "Thy servant is of one of the tribes of Israel." And Absalom said unto him, "See, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputed of the king to hear thee." And Absalom said moreover, "Oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice." And it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do him obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. And on this matter, did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Here we see David's son sitting in the city gates. Now the city gates were the place, they were a place of great importance. It was a place where people would gather together. Elders would be there, judges. They would come, they would discuss legal matters. They would come and discuss family matters. Now, all different disputes were brought to the city's gates. So this is a place of great influence, a place of great importance. And Absalom uses this place to turn the hearts of the people away from their king. He lied and he undermined his father's authority. Why? Because he wanted to be on the throne. You know, he's saying there to these people, he said, "Look, your matters are good and right, but you know, what's my father done? He's got no one here for you. He's what's he saying? He's not a very good king. I can do better than that. No, look, don't worry about him. Come to me. I'll take care of everything for you." You know, here he was, a beautiful man. You know, what a picture. This reminds us of the very devil himself. Satan, whose heart was lifted up. Why? Ezekiel 28:17, because of his beauty. Satan said he would exalt his throne above God's throne. Isaiah 14. This is what Absalom's trying to do. And Absalom's servants believed his lies and they followed him and were eventually defeated with him. What a picture of what's going to happen to Satan in the end. But how heartbreaking this must have been for his father, David. Absalom's lies, his deceitfulness, the slanderous words about his own father. It says there it stole the hearts of the men of Israel. You know, this is the tactics that the devil uses, slandering God and trying to persuade men that God is unreasonable, that God is unjust, that God is unfair. He uses these things to try and prove that God doesn't care about you. But the devil's even worse than Absalom, because the devil will go the other way as well, saying that, listen, God loves people so much, sin's never going to be punished. See, he blinds the minds of those who do not believe. Why? Lest the light of the gospel should shine in unto them. Now, Jesus said he's the father of lies. Do not give him an audience at all. Now, we see the pain of rejection and the hurt of David. You can stay there. I'll just read from Psalm 3:1. He says, "Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me." See, what Absalom has done, he has caused the people to reject David. Rejected by those who didn't want him to rule over them. In fact, in chapter 16, 13, they cursed him and they actually threw stones at David. David and his followers, the loyal followers he had, had to flee to Jerusalem. Their heads were covered. They were in disguise, hiding. They went across the brook of Kidron and up to the Mount of Olives, chapter 15, 23 and 30. And that's the same path the Lord took after the Last Supper when he went up into Gethsemane. You know, our Lord was rejected. He was despised, finally crucified. But Revelation 11, 15 reminds us that the Lord will reign forever and ever. Amen? We're looking forward to that one forever and ever. Now, David was blessed with some true servants. There were servants who were ready to follow him anywhere he went. 2 Samuel 15, 15, the king's servant said unto king, "Behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint." Do you know, it's not hard to follow someone who's receiving praise from people. It's not hard at all. But it's a different story, a different matter altogether to take their side when the majority is speaking bad things about them. When they're being put down and run down. Different story altogether. There are those who follow the Lord, Revelation 14, 4, follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. They're the ones the Lord's looking for. He wants those who will follow him anywhere he goes, anywhere he may lead. It doesn't matter how rough the path gets. It doesn't matter the amount of potholes we have to dodge and many times we may fall into. It doesn't matter how steep the mountain is we have to climb, how deep and dark and down the valley is we may descend into. They're faithful and loyal to the Lord's cause. And David's faithful servants owned him as king, even though the majority had rejected him and turned against him. Is that our testimony? Is Christ your Lord and King? Is he our master, especially in the midst of his rejection? Do we still follow him? David's loyal servants were ready to do whatever he appointed at the end of verse 15b there. Whatever he would do, whatsoever my Lord the King shall appoint, they were ready to do it. If this were but our life statement, what victories we would have. Psalm 3:2, again he says, "Many there be which say of my soul, there's no help for him in God, but thou art, Lord, a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head." See, David had faithful men with him, but he always looked to his God as the one who was the provider, not just of his rescue and his salvation, but also of people who would stand with him. And we're in a day where as believers we need to stand together. We need to rally in our hearts and spirits and make a stand for the Lord. And it can be difficult because sometimes the closest to us, family, don't understand it. What are you doing that for? Why do you spend so long with Christians? But we've got to make a stand and be faithful. The Lord's our shield. David said, "My glory and the lifter up of my head." You can imagine how down he must have been through what his own son was doing to him. And yet he says, "No, Lord, you're the lifter. You lift up my head. I'm not going to drop my lips. I'm not going to feel bad and down and depressed. I'm going to look to you, the one who lift me and put me right." Whatever their king appointed, they were willing and prepared to obey, these servants. I wonder if we're prepared to follow the advice that the Lord's mother at the wedding at Cana gave to the servants. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And David's servants here were ready to suffer rejection. They were ready to be despised with him. In chapter 16, 13, 2 Samuel, and as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along on the hill's side over against him and cursed as he went and threw stones at him and cast dust. Here he is, the Kidron Valley. If anyone here has been there, I've been there. That's not, we may think of a great big valley. It's not a very big valley at all. The city is on one side and it comes down quite steep, and straight on the other side going up, you have the Mount of Olives. And here they are trying to cross over, and the enemies are ridiculing him, throwing stones at him and casting dust at him. Now, as we go by the way, we should be ready to suffer with Christ. Yet there are times, and I'm only speaking honestly, that we're afraid, God forbid ashamed, but to take his side openly before others who despise him. We shrink from having our names being ridiculed, our faith in Christ being despised. But these men who followed David, we have to understand, were rewarded with victory. Back in 2 Samuel 18:7, it says, where the people of Israel were slain before the servants of David, and there was a great slaughter that day of 20,000 men. See, to these men, no one could compare with their king. 2 Samuel 18:3 says that they said about David, but now thou art worth 10,000 of us. See, no one could compare to them, to their king. He was the one they were surrendered to. He was the one they wanted to serve. He was the one they wanted to honor. No one compares to our Savior. You can't find anyone or anything in this world that compares to him. Perfect, right, just, the Son of the living God. How does our blessed Lord compare? Is he our all to us? Now in John 6, 67 to 69, Jesus said unto the 12, will you also go away? And Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What a statement. What a statement for us to not just claim, but to live by. Now back in 2 Samuel 18:2, look at David's words. He says at the end there, he says, I will surely go forth with you myself also. See, David wasn't hiding behind his servants. He wasn't trying to throw them first into the battle to be slain. David said, no, I'm going to be with you. I'll follow you. I'll go with you. Better still, I'll lead you to victory. Remember, the Lord promised us in Hebrews 13:5, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Whatever people say about us, whatever battles we are in, the Lord will lift up your head. He will be your shield. Remember Matthew 28:20, he is sending the disciples out to with the gospel. He says, lo, I am with thee always, even to the utter end of the world. Amen. Back in Psalm 3, 4 and 5, David says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice and he heard me out of his holy hill. See, in times of trouble and times of hardship, instead of crying into a pillow, brothers and sisters, cry out to the Lord. He's listening. He's waiting to hear. He's waiting to be brought into the picture so he can work on our behalves. I laid me down and slept. I await for the Lord sustain me. See, in all these troubles with people denying him, rejecting him, Israel turned against him, stones being cast at him. What does David do? He goes down and has a sleep. Isn't that amazing? No anxiety keeping him up all night. He didn't need anything to soothe his mind or heart. I laid me down and slept. Why? I await for the Lord sustained me. See, when he went to sleep, he knew the Lord would take care of him. When he woke up, he knew the Lord would still be taking care of him. In all the troubles, he was able to rest and sleep because he knew the Lord was with him. Do you know, we have God's holy word, and we can rely on every word of God to be true. No matter what we face, the Lord is with us. You know, the road that he took through the valley of Kidron and up to Gethsemane, it's only very narrow. It's only very short. And sometimes we're on the narrow road. That's where we are as Christians. That's the Lord says. The road to glory, the road to following Christ is narrow. Few there be that are on it. You know, after I had my cosmetic surgery done the other day, I left the clinic and all the traffic was being directed onto one road. And I'm going, man, look at the nightmare this road is. The highway was just packed with people trying to go everywhere. So in my intelligence, I says, I'll go left instead of right. And then I got lost. Then I took another. I said, if I keep going left, I'm heading towards Mullandina. And I took another left. And I ended up on this road from Miami through to Broadbeach. And the road is about this wide. It's a skinny little road that goes down through all these houses and a car's coming the other way and I actually pressed the button to bring the rearview mirror in. That's how narrow this little road is. And people are walking in the middle of it. And I'm amazed, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, there's no traffic on it. There's nothing. Honestly, it's not even as wide as it'd be lucky to be as wide from here to the wall. It's just a track. But not many people on it. The road the Lord asks us to walk is a narrow road. He's told us, few there be that be on it. But the road led somewhere. I found my way home. And the narrow road that Christ asks us to walk leads only one place, home. In all the midst of the troubles and the trials, if we stay on the narrow road, we end up home. 2 Samuel 19:11. And King David sent to Zadok and to Abiathar the priest, saying, speak unto the elders of Judah, saying, why are ye the last to bring the king back to his house? Seeing the speech of all Israel has come to the king, even to his house. Ye are my brethren, ye are the bones of my flesh. Wherefore then are ye the last to bring the king back? See, here's another set of servants that David's got. But they're not as faithful as the ones he's with. In contrast to the ones walking with him, there are some, they're a little bit shaky. A bit shaky in their allegiance to their king. And David says to them, why are you the last to bring the king back to his house? Wherefore then are ye the last to bring back the king? And when they heard this, you have a look at the in chapter 19, verse 14, you have a look what happened to them. And he bowed the heart of all the men of Judah. They were challenged and convicted that they were half-hearted servants. Half-hearted servants. They weren't prepared for the narrow road, you see. They will mix with anybody. That's what the half-hearted servants do. They will try and juggle a Christian life with a worldly life, Christian pleasures and worldly pleasures. It doesn't end up anywhere. But when we stick to the narrow road, we end up home. And he bowed the heart of all the men of Judah, even as the heart of one man. They just all just were challenged in their hearts. So that they sent this word unto the king. Look what they said to him. Return thou and all thy servants. Come on back. We want you here. We want you to rule over us and reign over us. You know, the Lord reminds us in Revelation 22:7, he says, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Verse 12 of Revelation 22, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. What is our response to hearing these words? Are we ready to meet him? Will we not say, even so, come, Lord Jesus? You know, we used to play a little game when I was a kid at birthday parties. Hide and seek. We'd all run around somewhere trying to hide, and someone would be counting to 20. When I counted, I did it by two, so it was I got the jump on them. But they would all, when the person finished counting, they always said, we all know it, don't we? Ready or not, here I come. Now the Lord's not hiding from us, but the Lord is seeking. And the call on a believer's life today is, ready or not, the Lord is coming. Are we faithful, loyal followers of our King? Servants ready to have stones cast at us, dust thrown in our face. Or maybe we're servants like the others he just spoke to here. We're a bit half-hearted, sitting back a little bit, not wanting to get too involved. Get too involved, you might be asked to do something, amen? Are we faithful and loyal followers of our King? Verse 19 to 21 of 2 Samuel 15, then said the king to Ittai the Gittite, here's another one, wherefore goest thou also with us? What are you coming with us for, Ittai? Return to thy place and abide with the king, for thou art a stranger and also an exile. Whereas thou camest but yesterday, should I this day make thee go up and down with us, seeing I go whither I may return thou, take back thy brethren, mercy and truth be with thee. And Ittai answered the king and said, as the Lord liveth, and as the Lord my king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be. Listen, Ittai hadn't known David for very long. David says, you're a stranger. You came yesterday. But he was ready to give it all up for his king. And David did put him to the test. And it's interesting that many who are born again only a short time in countries less fortunate than ours, what we would call godless countries, mind you, we can almost call our country that today, but those in foreign lands, in godless countries, get saved and put us to shame in their willingness to forsake all for Christ. And Ittai was willing to die and suffer for his king. Ittai was given a hard place in the battle. 2 Samuel 18:2, he was in a tough place. What an honor to be entrusted with a hard and difficult task from the Lord. Instead of sitting back and taking it easy, what an honor to stand up. And the Lord says, go into battle. And we go into battle. You know, what an honor if the Lord put us right in the front line. What an honor. And the cry of victory sounds out. Back in Psalm 3, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people. That's how many people had turned against him. Israel had turned against him. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all my enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah, think about it, he says. Loyalty to the king. What a testimony to carry on into glory. Amen. Faithful to our Lord until the end. What a wonderful story we have here. But this is not just a fairy tale. This is the truth. And may we be loyal to our king. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful message to us today from your word, Lord. We pray that, Father, we may go home and read these chapters again and just see your grace at work in the life of David, the faithfulness of his servants, and that we would be faithful servants for you. We praise you, Lord, that we have been called to serve you. And we ask, Lord, we would do it with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Because you loved us and you have saved us. We praise you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen.